Our Old Testament scripture today is from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a rich feast of food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God, for we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Our New Testament reading is from Revelation 21, 1 through 6. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
And our gospel reading comes from John chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" When Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb, it was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, who said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've shared with some of you that this was the passage that happened to be the lectionary reading on the Sunday that I had to preach the first time after my late husband Kirk had passed away. This was the lectionary passage. I was an associate pastor. I didn't have to preach that often. The pastor was going to be gone, and I looked at the lectionary, and I saw this, and I thought, Lord, are you kidding me? Because this was honestly the words some of that I had echoed in the past months, thinking about what it was to be Mary and Martha. And Jesus just showed up too late. It was hard. I don't remember what I said, but to be honest with you, I've had other people say, it's been years, it's been 16 years, 17 years. And there are a couple of people who still remember that sermon. I don't know what I said. I was just there. But this sermon or this passage is one that at times we can find ourselves in different places in the story. Sometimes we can be the one who's heartbroken and just wants God to show up. And then there are the times whenever we are can be the people who have seen Lazarus rise from the dead, and we can be in awe of the greatness of God and see the miracles that Jesus has done. And we can find renewal and a new chance at life, and we take it. And then there are those times when we're in between, we're anticipating what God is going to do. And then there are times when we may feel like we are Lazarus, that for some reason we have been bound up in the wrappings of death, that our lives have not been worth living, or we have just been existing and not living, that we have felt like we are wrapped in death itself. And then we hear by some miracle the grace of God come along and say to us, let her loose. Come out from that place of darkness and death. There is newness here for you. Any of us in this room can know what it's like to be at any place in this story. We know what it's like to hear God call to us and offer us hope when we thought there it was hopeless, to give us purpose and meaning when we thought we had none, to give us peace, and also to give us that understanding that we don't serve a God who is far away from us. We serve a God who weeps alongside of us. Today, as we gather on this All Saints Sunday, we remember the people who, like in this story, gathered around Jesus, who followed him from the very beginning, and all of those saints in between, who in some way heard Christ call them to new life, who heard Christ's words of comfort, who heard the call to say, follow me. And we follow like they did. We understand that the All Saints Sunday is about all these people who have gone before us, those who have been in these stories, who have experienced grace and healing and hope, and how Christ ministered to them. But it's also about how Christ continues to minister to us through the ages. Always offering life, always standing there as one who conquered death, who said to death itself, you are no more, who gives us purpose and meaning in this life, in how we live it, and gives us hope in the everlasting life of love in the presence of God, bound together with all the saints. We don't have to be exceptional Christians to be saints of God. On this Sunday, there might be those people, when we think of the saints of God, we think of people like Mary and Martha who got their name in lights for what they said and did as disciples of Christ in their faith and in their relationship with Jesus. But then there are those who remain nameless, those who just follow Jesus, who were there when the church was birthed, who walked faithfully. Some of them died for their faith. Some were persecuted for their faith. Some just carried on, ministering in Christ's name, taking up their cross and following him, just living life. But they heard those words of Jesus that he spoke to Lazarus to come out from the throes and the binding of death and be let loose. We understand that whenever our biggest fears in life, like death, have been removed, we don't have to be afraid of it anymore, because we can rest in the promise that there is life eternal. We can be let loose to be in this world and follow Christ wherever it may go. And so we look at Mary and Martha and we think, my goodness, those were saints. But we also hear those names of the others that we don't know, that the nameless, we don't hear the names of the nameless, but who faithfully followed, not just in the times of Scripture, but in all of the years that have unfolded since. Some we hear, some we study, some we know made great transformations because they thought so deeply, they made academic statements, they led great movements, the churches were reformed, all of these sorts of things. And we remember their name in Western Civ classes that we all had to take. But then there are just those ordinary folks who drag their kids to church on the days they don't want to go, who say their prayers at table, who teach their children, those ordinary Christians who welcome us in every Sunday and make us feel like we belong even when we don't feel like we belong anywhere else, those faithful Christians who speak words of kindness to strangers, those people, and I know if we think about it hard enough, those of us who were raised in church, we can probably remember either the little old lady or the little old man or the little old couple that always had the peppermints in their pockets. So when we came to church, we knew who we needed to see to get our peppermint before we went into the sanctuary. Or the little chiclet gum. There was a lady, Mrs. Batstone, always had the little chiclet gum whenever I was a child. The Sunday school teachers, the youth leaders, the elders and deacons who ministered behind the scenes, that as we may never realize all that they do, but they just live faithfully. We look around this room and we think about all the saints in this room as we gather together and worship and offer ourselves day after day, week after week, saying wherever it is that Christ will lead us, we will go. Wherever Christ calls us, we will try to follow. That we will not let our fears, we will not let our selfish motivations, we will not let those things that bind us up and keep us bound up in the throes of those clothes of death that rob us of life together and life fully in Christ. We will set those aside. We will try to set those aside. We will try to follow Christ. And when we mess up, we will come back together and we will receive that grace. We will pray and ask for forgiveness. And And when we need to seek that between each other, we will seek it out and rebuild bridges, and we will be a faithful community together. Saints drawn together, not in all of our power and righteousness and self-righteousness, but in the grace of Christ that draws us together to a table. I like the one described in Isaiah. Boy, there's going to be wine flowing, and there's going to be bread, fresh baked bread. Brett and I just got a new bread maker, and there is nothing as wonderful as fresh baked bread. And we will be there together, glorying in God's presence with us. That's the taste of what it is, not just in the future, but here today we have a taste of it. That we saints, those of us who are here, those of us who are worshiping elsewhere, the saints who have gone before us, the saints who will come after us, we remember today. We are bound together as the family of God. And nothing can pull that apart. Not the grief in our spirits at the loss of people we love. Not the sin in our lives that often pull us down. Not the shattered dreams or the unmet expectations. Nothing can pull us away from this great family of faith that we saints who are here can remember those who have gone before us and rejoice in the lessons we have learned from them. We can rejoice that they were let loose on the world, that they ministered and lived their lives, some of them with their names in neon, in the great life of the church, and some of them just embedded in our hearts. But for them, we offer thanks. For them, we say thanks be to God for having their lives grace ours, for the examples they set, for the love and grace they shared. And so today, we remember that it's not just about those saints, it's about us too. We who are the saints of God in this present time can find a reason to rejoice in the grace that says, death has no sting, death is conquered, because there is eternal life in the love and grace of God. And that can knit our spirits back together over time. That can knit our purpose together in this time and place. And that can unify us as we say together, we are willing to be let loose from those things that bind us up and keep us from going where Christ has called us to go, those things that keep our faith from growing, those things that keep us from being willing to step out and risk. But instead, in Christ's great conquering of death, we can step onward and outward. When my late husband passed away, when Kirk passed away, we were a little young for all of that to be happening. So we had never really talked about, except in jest, what we were supposed to do when the other one passed away. Kirk loved New Orleans and New Orleans jazz. He would always tease. He said, you know, your Baptist feet are going to have to dance out of the sanctuary whenever I die, because when the saints go marching in, I want it played and I want you dancing out like they do in New Orleans. So when we knew that he was with limited time, he looked at me and he said, you know what you're going to have to do. And I said, yeah, I'm going to have to dance out of that sanctuary when you're gone. He said, yes, you are. And so, a dear friend of ours, a colleague in the presbytery, in Savannah Presbytery, happened to be a professional musician, and he recorded in his studio all of the layers of when the saints go marching in, so it would sound like a New Orleans jazz band playing. And then at the funeral, he got up with his clarinet and he played that live with all of this going. And he told me, I'm going to give you a wink because I'm going to start slowly. Then we're going to build a little faster. And then I'll give you a wink when it's time for you to get up and you'll have time to get to the back of the sanctuary. I said, great. So there we sat, this man playing when the saints go marching in. And he gave me the wink and I stood up in my Baptist feet, along with all of the Baptist feet of my family and his. They were Presbyterians. They knew what to do. We danced out of the sanctuary to when the saints go marching in. With all of the grief and the burden of that moment, to be able to stand and know that Kirk had already been with the saints and gone marching in, to find the joy and the comfort of Christ's presence, calling us all home and calling us all out into the world, unbinding us in those moments from the pain of death, because we all firmly believe that we will be there when the saints go marching in. And there will be joy in those moments. There will be the recognition that death is done and over. But in these moments in between, when we still have to live, we can be called out with the same joy to go marching from this place, knowing where we go as let loose people, not fearing death, but embracing the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who called us to live. And so we do that in his name, today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, we will be remembering the saints, the members of our church, who joined the church triumphant. And as Barbara Dee and I read their names, we will ring a bell in remembrance. So I invite you in these moments to think about your loved ones and those saints we name and offer thanks as we go. We offer thanks for Lois Spurgeon.
We offer thanks for Betty Davis.
We offer thanks for Nancy Wiggum.
We offer thanks for Nancy Poorman.
We offer thanks for Frederick Gick.
We offer thanks for Susan Hendrick.
We offer thanks for Ron Foley.
We offer thanks for Lloyd Abel.
We offer thanks for Betty Gustafson.
We offer thanks for Donald Johnson.
And let's pray.